I think we need to at least remember the third chapter, which deals with how to prepare for the practice. So before really going to the practice, we have to prepare ourselves. And the first thing we have to do is to purify our virtue. That means to keep our moral conduct clear, to take and keep the precepts. That is the first thing. And then the next thing is, you can go back to page 91, paragraph 28. So there the steps are given. So first, purifying the virtue. And the second is severing any of the 10 impediments, so 10 obstacles. And that was dealt with in the third chapter. And then finding a good friend, a good meditation teacher, from which a yogi must learn about the meditation subject. And also, he should choose a subject suitable for his own temperament. So there are descriptions of 6 kinds of temperaments and what kind of temperament a person belongs to and so on. And after that, he should avoid a monastery unfavorable to the development of concentration and go to live in one that is favorable. So the fourth chapter picks up there. So the fourth chapter begins with the faults of 18 faults of a monastery suitable not suitable for the practice of meditation, and then 5 factors or 5 qualities of a suitable monastery. And then the other went on to explain how to make a kasina, a disc, or the earth kasina, and then how to practice. So we begin the fourth chapter with actually the 18 faults of a monastery. Before that, the author states that a meditator should live in a monastery which is not too far from where the teacher lives, because if he has doubt about the subject of meditation, he could go to the teacher and ask and let him clarify, and then go back to the monastery. So here it is said that if it is convenient, that he can live in another monastery, a suitable one, a quarter or a half or even a whole league distant. A league is said to be about 8 miles. So the monastery of the teacher should be at most 8 miles from where you live, so that you can walk to him in a day. You know, people had to walk in those days, and so you have to go for alms on your way. So it should be a quarter of a league or half a league or whole league. That means about 2 miles or 4 miles or 8 miles.
You live in Daly City, about 10 or 12 miles from here.
From here? Oh.
It's about 10 miles.
Well, maybe.
I'll clock it next time.
Yeah. So it may be about this distance. So if he has some doubt about meditation subject, he could go there, ask the teacher, and then go back to his own monastery and practice. Then the commentator gives the 18 faults of a monastery when describing how to practice meditation. The teachers of old are very they give very detailed about how to prepare for meditation. And so maybe these two, what do you call them, meticulous about the monastery. So a monastery where a person lives and practices meditation should be free from these 18 faults. And the first one is largeness. So when a monastery is a large one, then there are disturbances for the practice of meditation. And so firstly, people with varying aims collect in a large monastery. People here means monks, not lay people, but monks with different aims collect in a large monastery, and then they will conflict with each other. And then when there are many people, then people neglect the duties, sweeping the compound or setting up water and so on. So if they are not done, and if the person sees that they are not done, he should do them. And if he does not do them, then he commits an offense of wrongdoing. It's a very minor offense, but still that is an offense. So if he has to do sweep the place, put the water and so on, then his time for meditation is reduced. So living in a big monastery where monks are not doing their own duties is not a suitable one for a person who wants to practice meditation. But even if it's a large monastery, but if all the monks there do their duties, then and if there are no disturbances for practice of meditation, then he could live in a big monastery and practice meditation. So the main point is suitability for the practice of meditation. It may be a big monastery, but if it is well kept, and we do monks and novices living there do their own duties well, and so there is no disturbance or interference for practice of meditation, then he could live in a big monastery. So there are such big monasteries in our countries where the monks live in a very disciplinary way, and so very quiet, and you don't hear a sound, where even though 500 monks are eating. So such a monastery, even big, is suitable for practice of meditation. And the next one is a new monastery. So when the monastery is new, then you have many things to do. So it is also not a suitable place for the practice of meditation. So in this paragraph, page 123, paragraph 4, the ascetic's duties, you find that one? Let the venerable one do the ascetic's duties. That really means practice of meditation, not the ascetic practices or other duties. And the Pali word is Samana Dhamma. Or Samana means an ascetic or a monk, and Dhamma means his practice. The Samana Dhamma really means practice of meditation, not just doing duties. So even though it is a new monastery, if others take care of what is to be done there and let the person who wants to practice meditation practice freely, then that is a suitable monastery for him. The next one is dilapidated monastery. So when the monastery is not in a good shape, then you have to do repair or whatever is to be done there. And if you do that, you have a little time for meditation. So it is not a suitable monastery. And the next one is with a nearby road. So if it is close to a road, a main street or whatever, visitors keep coming night and day, and then you have to, visitors here means also monk visitors. So when visiting monks come, you have to assign places for them. Sometimes you have to give your place to the visiting monk, and you go to some other place. So you go to a root of a tree or on top of a on top of a flat rock. You have to give up your place to the visiting monk. And the next day is the same. So there's no opportunity to practice meditation. So it is not a suitable place for him.
And when we say meditation here, we're talking strictly about sitting or walking meditation?
Both. Any kind of meditation.
And the idea of work as meditation doesn't apply.
Here, meditation is walking or sitting meditation, but doing things at the monastery, working, cannot be done with the real intense mindfulness meditation. You may have what we call the light mindfulness during what you are doing, but when you are doing some repair work or whatever at the monastery, it is very difficult to keep mindfulness, the intense mindfulness. So here it means the intense practice of meditation. And near a pond, people come there, drink water and so on. And here pupils of city-dwelling elders supported by the royal family. Here also supported by really means frequenting royal families or being familiar with or intimate with royal families. So it is not a suitable place. And the next one is near a place where there are vegetables, edible leaves, he really means vegetables. So when there are vegetables, women may come to gather vegetables, and then they will sing and so on, and so there is a disturbance with sounds of the opposite sex, and so there is a danger to meditation. So it is not a suitable place. And the same with the flowering, a monastery with flowering shrubs or trees. People come to gather flowers, and so there is disturbance to meditation. And the next one is there are many sorts of fruits, such as mangoes, rose apples, and jackfruit, and so on. So when there are fruits, people come and pick fruits, and so there is disturbance. Jackfruit is a big tree, and some jackfruit may be as big as this pillow, yeah, and it has something like thorns outside, not really thorns, but thorn-like protrusions outside. And you cut, when you cut there is something like meat inside, and the seed about as big as about this size. And jackfruit is grown in tropical countries, in Burma, in Sri Lanka, and I think it also grown in Hawaii. Many people in this country don't know jackfruit. And jackfruit tree is very important for monks, or it was important for monks, because we use the inner core of jackfruit tree to make dye for the robes. The inner core is the color between brown and yellow. It's dark yellow color. So we chop the inner core into small pieces, and then boil and get the dye. And we dye the robes with these that dye we got from jackfruit tree. And the other thing we use for making dye is the bark of banyan tree, but that is not as good as the inner core of jackfruit tree. So here people come for fruits. I think now the jackfruits are imported to this country in canned fruit.
What does it taste like?
I don't know what to say. It is sweet, but if you eat too much, and you will have a stomach trouble. So fruits. And then if the monastery is famous, it is renowned, then many people come, and so you don't have enough time for meditation. But if it suits him, he can live there at night and go elsewhere by day. So during the day you go somewhere else and you go back at night. That you can do. And then one with nearby city objects of the opposite sex comes into focus. So when it is close to a city, this one has to be right in the city. Well, we are the same. So that is a kind of disturbance. Now here, descendants, also important people spread out carpets in the middle of the monastery and sit down. Actually, not spread out carpets, but they sit in the middle of the monastery, screened by curtains. That's what is meant. So people would come into the monastery compound and sit, and then they will put a curtain around them. That is what is meant. Not just spreading carpets. Mm. The Pali word here means not a carpet, but a curtain. Yeah.
And that was done so that to isolate them, or they'd have a spot
that's
for meditation?
That's right. Yeah. So, no, not for meditation.
Just to isolate them.
Just for isolation, from the monks. Yes. And here, important people, they're not monks.
Right.
So lay people might come, and the minister or the king or anybody. And they want to be secluded, separated from other people, and so they will put a curtain around them. And then one with nearby timber trees, so when there are timber trees, people come and cut down trees and so on, and so it is not a good place. And the next one is nearby arable fields. So when there are fields close to the monastery, people use the monastery compound as a threshing place, and so there is disturbance. And also, when a monastery owns land, then the attendants of the monastery have to avoid the cattle from coming into the field, or sometimes they have to avoid giving water to them or something like that. So this is what it said here. The monastery attendants impound cattle belonging to families and deny the water supply to their crops. Then people bring an ear of paddy. That should be A-N. Do you have A-N-D or A-N?
A-N.
All right. So, but in this book it is A-N-D. So an ear of paddy and show it to the community saying. So they will come and look at your monastery attendants' work and so on. Paddy is a kind of crop. We get rice from it. And then presence of incompatible persons, where there are monks living who are incompatible and mutually hostile. When they clash and it is protested, venerable sirs, do not do so, then they say, we no longer call now that this refused Raghuayara Vyara has come. After this monk has come, we are nobody or something like that. So this is not a good place for a monk for meditation. Then nearby water port of entry or land port of entry. So when a monastery is near such a place, then it is the monks are made inconvenient by people, say, constantly arriving, coming by ship or caravan, and then asking for water or asking for salt and so on. And then the next one is near the border countries. Border countries really means outlying districts. Mostly people who live in outlying districts are not of a religious type, and so they don't have faith in religion or in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. So border countries really means district lying near the border. The next one is near the frontier of a kingdom. So when a monk lives near the border of a country, and then kings come and attack this place and that place, and sometimes it falls to one king's domain and then it falls to another. And so when a monk is living there, he might be suspected of spying and there would be danger to him. So it is not suitable for him to live near the frontier and practice meditation. And then unsuitability is that due to the risk of encountering visible data, etc., of the opposite sex as objects, or to haunting by non-human beings. So if it is a haunted house, you do not live and meditate there. Here is a story. An elder lived in a forest, it seems. Then an ogress stood in the door of his leaf hut and sang. The elder came out and stood in the door. She went to the end of the walk and sang. The elder went to the end of the walk. She stood in a chasm, 100 fathoms deep, and sang. The elder recoiled. Then she suddenly grabbed him, saying, "Venerable sir, it is not just one or two of the likes of you I have eaten." So it is not safe to practice meditation in a haunted house. Then the last one is lack of good friends. So if you cannot get good friends, then you don't live there and practice meditation. A teacher or equivalent of a teacher is important for a person who practices meditation. So these are the 18 faults of monastery which a monk has to avoid to make his meditation practice successful. And then there is a monastery which is suitable for monks or for practice of meditation. And there are five qualities or five factors of a monastery. A resting place really means a monastery. Sometimes Nyanamori wanted to be very literal.
So it means monastery.
Yeah, it is a monastery, it is a dwelling place. And a dwelling place for monks must not be too far or too near to the village or a town or a city, because he has to go for alms. So if it is too far, it's difficult for him to go. And if it is too close, it is noisy, and then there is a disturbance. So it should not be too far or too near, and has a path for going and coming, that is, has a good road, so that he could go to the village and come back to the monastery with comfort. Number two is, it is little frequented by day, so that means seclusion, and with little sound and few voices by night. So it is secluded by day, not too crowded during the day, and not noisy during the night. And the third factor is, there is little contact with gadflies, flies, wind, burning sun, and creeping things. So there should be not many mosquitoes, gadflies, and so on. And the fourth is, one who lives in that lodging easily obtains robes and so on. That means they must be easily obtainable. Because if a monk has to worry about getting robes and so on, then he could not practice meditation well. So they must be the monk must live in a place where these things are easily obtained. And the fifth one is where there are monks living who are learned, versed in the scriptures, observers of the Dhamma, observers of the Vinaya, observers of the code. Now, observers really means holder. Observer is a little softer, but here it means those who have learned by heart the Dhamma, the Vinaya, and the code. And the Pali word for it is dhara, D-H-A-R-A. So it is not just observers, but those who are competent, actually. Those who are competent in the Dhamma, in the Vinaya. Dhamma means sodas and abhidhamma, and Vinaya means disciplinary rules. And observers of the code mean the holder of the codes. Codes here means the beginning portion of Abhidhamma Pitaka and the rules for monks. I hope you remember that there is a code of rules for monks, 227 rules and so on. So these are called codes in Pali. They are called Madiga, and Madiga also means the first, very first section of the Abhidhamma Pitaka. That's right. Yeah, precepts of monks. So there should be such monks at the monastery, so that if you have doubt about anything, then you can go to them and ask them. So these are the five qualities of a monastery. So avoiding the 18 faults of a monastery and going to a monastery where where you find these five factors, and then you practice meditation. But before practicing meditation, you have to do one more thing, that is to sever the lesser impediments. So you have severed the grosser impediments before. There were 10, right? 10 impediments. Back in the third chapter. Page 91. So first, he should sever the 10 impediments, and then find a teacher, learn about meditation, and then avoid the 18 faults of a monastery, and then find a monastery which is endowed with five qualities. And after that, just before the practice, taking up practice of meditation, he has to do something, and that is severing the lesser impediments. And lesser impediments here means when your hair is long, and then you have to cut, and when your nails are long, you have to cut them, and also if you have to mend your robes, you have to do that, and if there is stain on the bowl, that means the bowl is made of iron. And so, if it is not so good, then you have to bake it again. And the bed, chair, etc., should be cleared up. So everything has to be done neatly, so that when you practice meditation, you don't have to worry about all these things. So after severing the lesser impediments, we embark upon the practice of meditation, but still you have to do something. Now, you remember there are 40 subjects of meditation, and so now the author is going to describe the practice of the first subject of meditation given there, the kasina.
If you were to strictly follow these 18 and a monastery, are there many places in Burma today that, strictly speaking, don't have these entrances?
Yes, yeah. Mostly they are forest monasteries, because in the cities you cannot get a monastery which is really free from all these 18 faults. But when you go to a forest, I mean not in the deep jungle, but say about a mile or two away from a village, then you get the appropriate or proper place for practice of meditation. But I think the point here is it should be a place where you can practice meditation without disturbance, and where you can develop concentration. So that is the main point. So the first subject of meditation mentioned in the third chapter is the earth kasina. So kasina means hole, whole, or. But we just say it is a disc, because you look at a disc of earth and then practice meditation on it. So when a bhikkhu has thus severed the lesser impediments, then on his return from his alms round after his meal and after he has got rid of drowsiness due to the meal, that means after he has rested for a while, after meal, you feel a little drowsy, you want to go to sleep, so you may take rest for a while, and that is what is meant by getting rid of drowsiness due to the meal. And then he should sit down comfortably in a secluded place and apprehend the sign in the earth that is either made up or not made up. So the earth kasina could be made one, or it is unmade, natural one. So for this is said, one who is learning the earth kasina, learning here really means practicing meditation on it. Here also, Nyanamoli wanted to be literal. The Pali word uggaha has many meanings. So picking up, that is also uggaha. Learning is uggaha. Or taking hold of or grasping something like that, that is uggaha. So here it means practicing meditation on the kasina object, or concentrating on the kasina object. So learning the earth kasina apprehends a sign in earth that is neither either made up or not made up, that is bounded, not unbounded, limited, not unlimited, and so on. Now, circumscribed, not uncircumscribed, either the size of a bushel or the size of a saucer. What is a bushel?
It's a measured weight.
It's measured. It's a measure. I think it's like this. It's
how
like this.
Yeah. How deep it is?
It's like it's.
Oh.
Yeah. It's
no. At least in Burmese, it is translated as something like a tray.
A tray.
A round tray, and about maybe 1 inch deep. Mm. It is not a bushel, a basket. Wow. So actually, it is something like this. Now if you want to serve something, you use a tray, something like that.
Right.
So it is a tray, not a bushel. And the source of it, saucer, and here in Burmese we translate it as a lid of a pot. So when you cook something, you use a clay made a pot made of clay, and then there is the lid. So it is about this size, about maybe 9 inches or 10 inches diameter. And he sees that it is the sign is well apprehended, well attended to, well defined. So he puts the mind on that object and tries to concentrate on the object and tries to actually memorize the object so that he could see the object, he could see the sign with his eyes closed. Having done that and seeing its advantages and perceiving it as a treasure, building up respect for it, making it dear to him, he may even be attached to that sign. Because after you have got it in your mind, and you may be attached to it, you don't want to lose it, it is dear to you. You're making it that way. And he anchors his mind to that object, thinking, surely in this way, actually surely by this practice, I shall be free from aging and death. Now, what the author is describing here is samatha meditation. But even the samatha meditation should be directed towards getting free from aging and death. That means after practicing samatha on it, he will go to vipassana. Samatha for samatha's sake is not praised by the Buddha. You practice samatha meditation to get good concentration, and then you change over to vipassana meditation. With the help of the concentration you obtain from samatha meditation, you can easily go to vipassana meditation. So samatha meditation should be a basis for vipassana meditation. Okay. That's why it is said, surely by this practice I shall be free from aging and death, and secluded from sense desire, etc. He enters upon and dwells in the first jhana. We'll come to the jhana, not today, next week. Now, when a person had previous experience of the practice of meditation, then he may not need to make a disc of earth. Just by looking at the natural earth, he may get the sign, the abstract sign or the grasped sign. So if a person had experience in the past, then he may not need to make a kasina disc. But if he has not, then he will have to make a kasina disc. So that is with regard to made and unmade. So unmade means for those who have who have had experience in the past lives. And those who have not, then they'll have to make a kasina themselves. So making an earth kasina. So, but when a man has had no such previous practice, he should make a kasina guarding against the four faults of a kasina. So he must avoid four faults of kasina, and not overlooking any of the directions for the meditation subject learned from the teacher. Now the four faults of kasina are due to intrusion of blue, yellow, red, white. When you make the earth kasina, it must not be blue color, yellow color, red color, white color. Because among the 10 kasinas, there are four color kasinas, and they are blue, yellow, red, and white. So in order not to mix with them, the earth kasina should not be blue or yellow or red or white. So instead of using clay of such colors, he should make the kasina of clay like that in the stream of the Ganga, which is the color of the dawn. It's somewhat red, but not really red color. You may get up early morning and look at dawn. In our books, it is defined as a little red, not quite red, but a little red. So that color. So it is said in the book that you should use that color, dawn color clay, and you can get it in the stream of the Ganga. Ganga really means not the river, not necessarily the Ganges River in India, but a river is called Ganga. So Ganga is a common noun meaning a river. But it is also the name of a river in India. And he should make it not in the middle of a monastery, in a place where novices, etc. are about, but on the confines of the monastery. So in a secluded place, he must make this. And when he makes this, he can make it either portable or fixed one. So when he is making a portable one, then he should make it by tying rags or leather or matting onto four sticks and smearing thereon a disc of the size already mentioned. That means about the size of a tray, a round tray. And later down, the size will be given. Already mentioned, using clay picked clean of grass, roots, gravel, and sand, and well kneaded. At the time of the preliminary work, it should be laid on the ground and looked at. So you put it on the ground and then you look at it and practice meditation on it. A fixture should be made by knocking sticks into the ground. So fixed sticks into the ground in the form of a lotus calyx. That means like this. And lacing them over with creepers. If the clay is insufficient, then other clay should be put underneath. So if the dawn color clay is insufficient, then you can use other color clay underneath and then put the dawn color clay on the surface, on top. And he put underneath, and it just span and four fingers across. That is about the size of a tray. Four span and four fingers. So it's about 10 inches. So about 10 inches diameter, an earth disk. And then, having thus made it delimited and of the size prescribed, he should scrape it down with the stone trowel, not with the wooden trowel, because it makes the color bad. And makes it even as the surface of a drum, so very, very smooth. Then he should sweep the place out and have a bath. We will come to that later, because we need cleanliness, see, internal as well as external. On his return, he should seat himself on a well-covered chair. Actually, it is not well-covered chair, but well-placed chair. It should be on an even ground, maybe something like that, not well-covered. Well-placed chair with legs expanded and four fingers high, about 10 inches high. Prepared in a place that is 2.5 cubits from the casino disc. So the disc should be about 2.5 discs, maybe 4 feet. 1 cubit is about 18 inches. So 2 cubits means 3 feet. And then 9 inches. So about 3 feet, 9 inches or 4 feet. For the casino does not appear plainly to him if he sits further off than that. So if he sits too far, it's not plain to him. And if he sits too close, then faults of the casino appear. So when you make a earth disk, it may not be as smooth as a mirror. So you will see faults, like impressions of your fingers or something like that. So in order not to see them, you have to put it a little way back. And if it's nearer than there, he falls at the casino appear. If he sits higher up, he has to look at it with his neck bent. And if he sits lower down, his knees ache. So it should not be neither too high nor too low. He should sit on a place which is neither too high nor too low. And then not too far from and not too close to him. And then he practices meditation. And when he looks at the disc, then he should not open his eyes too wide. So if he opens his eyes too wide, he gets fatigued. And the disc becomes too obvious. And when the disc becomes too obvious, then he cannot get the sign apparent to him. And if he opens too little, then the disc is, you cannot see the disc clearly. And so the person will become drowsy and maybe fall into sleep. So it should be looked at with eyes evenly open, not too wide and not too little. As if he were looking his face in the glass, in the mirror, looking glass. When you look at the looking glass, you look at your face and not the color of the glass or not the characteristic of the looking glass, but you look on the face. So in the same way, when you look at the disc, you look at the disc and not its color and so on. We'll come to that later. Now, the color should not be reviewed. The characteristic should not be given attention. Now, the author did not say that the color should not be looked at, because you cannot avoid looking at color when you look at the disc. The disc is somewhat red clay. So when you look at the disc and practice meditation on it, you cannot help seeing color. But you do not pay attention to color, because if you pay attention to color, then your meditation will not be on the earth disc, but on the color disc. So in order not to mix with color disc, you are not to pay attention to color. And then the characteristic should not be given attention. Now, the earth has a characteristic of hardness. But you should not concentrate on the hardness of the earth, on the disk. Because if you concentrate on the characteristic of the earth disk, then you are doing another kind of meditation, not this kasina meditation. There is another kind of meditation. Maybe chapter 10, where you concentrate on the characteristics of things and not on the things themselves. But here you pay attention to the earth kasina and not its characteristics. So the characteristics should not be given attention, but rather, while not ignoring the color, attention should be given by setting the mind on the name concept. That means the earth is a concept, it is not a reality. What is real in the earth is just the hardness. The hardness is reality, and the earth is called a concept. And this kind of meditation takes concept as object and not the reality. So the concept should be taken into account.
So that means you see a disc or a...
Yeah.